Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings and it is Friday, the 25th of November. And as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only. So please do your own research, contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas in this podcast. All right, well, let's go to the scores and the doors. And of course, the Dow Jones and the US markets closed last night for Thanksgiving. So nothing to come out of the US at all. So we have to look for European inspiration. And we did see the Stoxx 600 in Europe up 0.5%. The FTSE barely changed. Germany up 0.8%. France up 0.4%. Spain barely changed as well. So nothing very exciting coming out of Europe, but just following on from that positivity from the US, given the Federal Reserve minutes that we saw, certainly positivity across the board in terms of equities at the moment. We did see the Aussie dollar 67.66, and of course the US dollar index not open today, as was the 10 and 2-year US treasuries. Again, not open today, all closed for Thanksgiving. And don't forget, Friday is a shortened day for the US as well. So not really expecting too much in terms of leads in our market today. We will probably be wafting around a little bit. We are up 12 points on the SPY, kicking on from yesterday's measly 10-point gain. But we did see the market come off 10 points in the last couple of minutes at the match out, so maybe we'll see that positivity continue. But of course, we did have commodity markets open last night, and we had Brent crude up 0.6%. Gold slightly higher, up $3.40. Gold miners, bit of a standout yesterday in places, especially in some of the really bombed out gold miners, had a very good day. Things like St. Barbara and Evolution doing quite well, and Bellevue Gold too doing well. But we had gold up $3.40 or 0.2%. Copper was up 0.6. Nickel up 1.2%. Zinc up 0.6. Lead up 1.6. And tin up 1.5%. So not a bad night. In the UK, we did see BHP up 0.7%. And Rio in the UK up 0.5%. No ADR trade, of course. The American depository receipts closed for the session, as we have got that Thanksgiving holiday. So nothing very exciting to go on, but European investors very much reacting to that flash November PMI, as well as those Federal Reserve minutes. In other European news, a new report from Germany's central bank has forecast a slowdown but no significant correction in the housing market, so that is something. Oil, little change. The European Union is still considering a higher than expected now price cap on Russian crude, and evidence mounted of the challenges to demand, but WTI not doing much, nor Brent doing too much. But there's certainly, it's going to be interesting to see how the mechanism is initiated in terms of price capping. The European Union is looking at capping oil prices and gas prices, although the suggested gas price cap is actually pretty much right at the top of that gas range that we saw earlier this year. In other news last night as well, we saw some economic forecasts for Canada. Why has Canada got any relevance to us? Well, of course, their economy doesn't look that dissimilar to ours in terms of resource-based economy. And one of the Oxford economics boffins, Tony Stillo, has said that Canada's economic downturn will end up being longer, though shallower than your average. He's forecasting real GDP will fall back 2% peak to trough between Q4 22 and Q3 2023. It may be one quarter longer, but more shallow than the average 4% drop during the Canadian recessions in the last 50 years. So it could be that we do get a similar shallow but slightly longer recession, if at all we do get that recession. Of course, that is not guaranteed. In news out last night, we did see the RBA review starting to make some noises. They're halfway through the review, and already we're starting to get some noises out of the committee on ways to improve the RBA. Are they saying that the top-down hierarchy could improve its communication with the public about monetary policy? I'll say. and they could increase internal debate and openness to outside ideas. And they could also have two boards, one board to actually focus on interest rates and monetary policy settings, which could be dominated by people who actually know what they're talking about and economists, as opposed to business people or other appointees. And the other board could be just focusing on market stability and issues concerning the banking and financial system in Australia. So it'll be interesting to see how that one pans out. Looking at company news this morning, there is a very big article in the AFR today, which I would urge you to read if you get the chance, on lithium and the US having to be very strategic and back Australia, Chile and Canada to some extent in terms of lithium production, because they have very little of their own. Ioneer is the stock that they focus on, so that's good for the small cap portfolio, which we do own Ioneer. Lark seems they held some talks with Sullivan's Cove to put together a whiskey giant, well, an Australian whiskey giant anyway, but it looks at the moment as if those talks have not been fruitful. And Westpac and maybe Monaris, which is a Canadian group, could be in the data room looking at the numbers for Tyro. They had their AGM yesterday. Not much came out of that. David Thodey is retiring. Certainly Tyro on the right track, but it is all about that bid. We already have one bid, and we're hoping that we will get another bid from Westpac or even Monaris. But NABs look as if they dropped out of the race due to concerns about ACCC issues. And Rex, front and centre this morning in the newspapers, has accused Qantas of gouging customers. I think we could all see Qantas is gouging customers. And they've taken a swipe at Qantas, and as the domestic airline war heats up, saying airfares are out of step with their costs. Anybody who's tried to book a ticket on Jetstar, for instance, between Sydney and Melbourne, will know that the cost has increased dramatically. Also in the media this morning, Strike Energy boss Stuart Nicholls has suggested the WA government has anointed Kerry Stokes's Beach Energy as king of the state's onshore gas jungle by granting its unique export powers that put Beach in a stronger position to prey on less favoured players in the Perth Basin. And Nanosonics has been upgraded to neutral from underweight at JP Morgan. It cites a strong start to FY23. Woodside Energy downgraded to underweight from neutral at Barrenjoey. Woodside's had a pretty big run recently, but Barrenjoey getting a little bit cautious on the outlook for that one. And in other news today, in terms of brokers, just having a little look through, not much else so far. We do have AFG, that's Australian Finance Group, their AGM out this morning, just out and coming through in the market. Not much else, though, on the corporate front this morning of any concern, at least as yet. Well, that's it from me. Of course, a shortened podcast this morning. We do not have the US to go on. Our market looks as if it's going to continue to drift higher. Low volumes and probably lack of conviction. All eyes on the US futures, which will still be open. But given the US market is only open for half a day on Friday, and people will be full of turkey and thinking of holidays rather than the stock market, expecting a quiet trading day ahead with a slight bias to the upside. Well, that's it from me today. I'll be off to the AIA conference. Hope to see you there if you are going to be in Sydney and interested in that one. Otherwise, have a great day. And of course, as always, may the trading gods be with you. We'll be right back.